You'd open your Bibles to the chapter of Ephesians. We're going to get to the first six verses of chapter 4. This is a little higher than I'm used to, but that's all right. It brings the words a little closer to me. That's always good. True. Chapter 4, starting at verse 1. Therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. We have looked at the calling God has on all of us as individuals and as members of a congregation of His church, of how the barrier of hostility between Jews and Gentiles was broken down and destroyed by God, and that we, as we are told in 1 Corinthians 12:14, have been all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, one God, one Father. As a part of the body of Christ, His church, you are called to maintain or preserve the unity of the Spirit. We cannot do that if we do not gather together as His church. We are told in Hebrews 10, let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. That day is coming. That day is coming. Either you're going to go meet Him, or He's coming back to get you, and you're going to meet Him. We need to be ready for that. We need to be doing what He's called us to do. Have you considered how to stir up one another to love and good works? Are you even doing that now? Are you encouraging one another as a part of the congregation? One another is referring to those within the church. All the one another's are directed and spoken to the church. Not just to individuals, but to the church who gathers together. If we do not meet together, if you are not participating in the Great Commission with a local congregation, then please, please tell me how you are maintaining the unity we are to have, how you are stirring others to love and good works, how you are encouraging one another or doing any of the other one another's of the New Testament. Because apart from the church, you can't do that. You cannot stir, you cannot help, you cannot teach, you cannot love one another. Though it is easier to love some when they're not here. But we are called to love all of us, one another, all of us. And when Christ comes back, He's coming back in judgment. And we need to be ready. Will He find His church ready, as doing as He commanded, or fighting amongst ourselves? Will we be in unity or divided? Moving forward in unity, as we saw those flocks of sheep last week, if you remember watching that little video, or going astray and doing our own thing. And there was a time when we all, like sheep, had gone astray, right? And if you were one of the, if you were the one, Jesus came and got you and brought you back. That's awesome. That's awesome. You and I are called to be maintaining, that's ongoing, unity, the unity of the Spirit that we have in Christ. That unity is ours the moment we become born again, the moment we are baptized into the body of Christ, right? Because that's what happens at salvation. You're made a part of the body of Christ. So how are we maintaining that? I understand that at one time we were all sinners, that we did things that we are not proud of, but we have been saved from our sin. We have been set free from it. And now we are called to move forward, to press on in the upward call of Christ. That's what we read about in Philippians, which we'll get to that. It is your responsibility to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Yours. I cannot make you grow or learn or read your Bibles, though I'd like to at times. I wish you will all, I pray that you all read your Bibles, that you do some kind of devotion in the morning, whether it's sitting down and reading a chapter or two, or just a little devotion book that makes you get into the Word. I do those devotions because I want to encourage you in the mornings to open your Bibles and read and study and grow. Who's that going to benefit? Not going to benefit me. It's going to benefit you. It's going to prepare you for His return, or you're going. We need to understand that. It's your responsibility. You are to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work in you both to will and to work for His good pleasure. The very Spirit of God, God the Spirit, if you will, dwells within you as a Christian. He is at work in the world to convict them of sin. Okay, we understand that. But once we've been convicted, we understand what sin is. We turn from it, repent, and come to Christ. And now He's working in us to enable us and to help us and empower us to do and be what He's called us to do and be. To be the church, to be Christians, to be loving and kind and forgiving, so that we can learn to grow together as the church. We are to forget what lies behind, those sins that we, that's an old life, it's gone. It's water under the bridge, it's under the blood. We are to forget what lies behind and strain forward to what lies ahead. We're to press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Philippians 2. Do we get that? Do we understand it? Are we participating in that? Our unity and calling are given to us both at new birth and as we press toward the goal. Okay? Our unity and calling are ongoing as we press on toward the goal. That goal, that prize, is our complete salvation, resurrection from the dead, and eternal life that is found in Christ Jesus our Lord. To boil it down, that means heaven. And I don't know what your pictures of heaven are, if it's streets of gold and or floating around on a cloud playing a harp. I don't know what your vision is. Heaven is to be with Christ. It's eternal life. I'll give you my take on heaven. God is a creator. He hasn't stopped. The scientists will say that the universe is still expanding. We have an eternity to explore everything. And you know what? God's going to be right there with us. Imagine that. Wow, this is really neat. Why did you make a fly? You know, there's questions we have. But at the same time, Mindy and I are getting to travel now, and we're seeing things that are just so awesome in God's creation. Do we really understand that that's what we're going to have is that eternity with Him, enjoying His creation? We're to be working together in unity, and yet many do not know God or acknowledge Him with obedience. They're not walking in obedience. That is plain and simple unbelief. Because if you believe there's a God and that He holds your life in His hand, are you or are you not going to be doing everything that your God tells you to be doing? Because no one can snatch you out of His hand if you're His. There's an if there, if you're His. Many congregations have no problem maintaining unity amongst themselves, seeming to forget that, as is stated here, that there is only one body, one church. We all have to remember that each congregation is a part of His church, that one body, right? And that we are all brought into the family of God by and through the Spirit, to the one hope all are called to: forgiveness, salvation, and eternal life. Jesus died for the whole world. Did He Himself not tell Nicodemus that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish? Whoever. The Bible tells us in 2 Peter that God wants none to perish, but all to come to repentance. Not a select few, not just the church of God. Okay, just so you know that. That God talks about, the whole world, and contrary to what some pastors within the movement preach, includes those of other fellowships and traditions and denominations outside of the Church of God. We have brothers and sisters in every Christian tradition and fellowship. Pastor Sheila, if you're listening, Pastor Sheila is a pastor at the Presbyterian Church that was up the road from where we lived. Her and I had some very good conversations. She is a true friend. She is a Presbyterian. She's a Christian, right? Doesn't matter what tradition. Doesn't matter. Different traditions and fellowships. We need to understand that. We need to get it. Doesn't matter whether you're Presbyterian, Baptist, Methodist, and assemblies, or amongst Catholicism, the true church, the Israel of God, is made up of believers. I don't know if you've ever heard the story that John Wesley had a dream. And in that dream, this is what happened. I'm going to boil it down. He was ushered to the very gates of hell. And he asked, "Are there any Presbyterians here?" "Yes," came the answer. Then he asked, "Are there any Baptists? Any Episcopalians?" "Yes," came the answer. Each time he named a different denomination or fellowship. And finally he asked, "Are there any Methodists?" "Yes." "Yes." Then he's ushered, and he's much distressed at this point. He's ushered to the gates of heaven. And there he asked the same questions over and over, and the answer was no, there are none here. No, there are no Episcopalians. There are no Presbyterians. There are no Methodists. And Wesley was a Methodist. He's the one that got Methodism going together. So he asked this final question: who then is inside heaven? Who's here? There are only Christians here. Christians, believers, Doesn't matter what's over the doorway or out on the sign. Are we Christians or are we something else? I have many Christian friends, as I said about Pastor Shalita, who are not of the Church of God. Some are pastors and some are elders, and they're just, some of them are just lay folks, just go to church and they're involved in their churches. And they're from different traditions and different fellowships. But they, like me and like most of you, are Christians first. Their loyalty, their faith lies in the one true God. They, like me, were not and are not baptized into a tradition or a fellowship, but into the one body, the church, the body of Christ. Yes, we have our differences. Yes, we have our debates. Yes, we disagree on certain things, but they're peripheral. Jesus Christ is Lord, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And obedience. Those are important ones. There's a lot of other ones that are important, but those for me were the ones that I wanted to know. Are you following Christ or are you going your own way? Doesn't matter what your tradition teaches on these peripheral things. We can look aside, put those aside, and focus on what we have in common and what we believe together. The problem is that some of us choose to be Methodist or Catholic or Presbyterian or Baptist or for Church of God, and we can do that and worship within those traditions and follow their doctrines, but if you want to get into heaven, you better be a Christian first. You better be believing and walking after God first and foremost. Bearing with one another, encouraging one another, devoted to one another, and loving the brothers and sisters of our faith, no matter where they worship. Now, there are some things out there that get off into weeds that are not Christian, but you'll know them. We need to do this because there is only one body and one spirit. Just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father who is over all and through all and in all of his people. That all is all. Doesn't matter. Christians, believers, all, God is right there with us. Not some, because if you are of his flock, his sheep, then you are part of the body of Christ, his body, right? That includes the local body of believers as well as the entire body of Christ. As you can tell, I'm passionate about this because I seem to think that we forget, well, I'm Presbyterian or I'm Baptist. No, you're Christian first, or you're not a Christian at all. Because if you label yourself whatever, Methodist, then are you a Methodist first or a Christian first? Are you following Methodism or are you following Christ? To pick on one. We have to remember that. Because Jesus died for everyone. And we're made a part of the body, his church. First Corinthians tells us how we're to act within the church. 1 Corinthians, and you probably heard this before, chapter 13. I'm going to start at verse 4, love. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. And it is not irritable or resentful. We need to practice this at home first, and then as it goes from there. It does not love. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. And we are to be carrying the love of God that has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us out into the world. We don't bottle it up and keep it here. You don't bottle it up and keep it at home. You share it because it's being poured. You should be full of the very love of God. Paul said we should stand firm in one spirit with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. Stand firm together, striving for the gospel, not for a certain denomination, not for a certain congregation, but striving for the gospel. He encouraged unity in all his letters, in every one of them. I couldn't find one where he didn't mention some form of coming together and being the church. Jesus himself prayed for our unity in John 17. If unity was this important to both Paul and to Jesus himself, and they prayed about it and made sure the church knew about it, shouldn't we be doing the same? Shouldn't we pray for unity amongst ourselves and then amongst the church? Yes, there are things we're not going to agree with. And there are things that we're not going to agree with within our own congregation. But God placed you here for a reason. God made you a part of this congregation. He made you a part of His church first. And then He made you a part of this congregation. You were here. Are we going to strive for unity amongst ourselves and amongst the church? Or are we going to go our own way? We need to pray for unity. He says we're to maintain it. It's something that we do. Yes, we have it, but we have to maintain it. We have to keep it. If you don't put any gas in your car or you don't change the oil for a few months, you're going to have trouble. You have to maintain your vehicle. Our unity in the same way needs maintained. When we stay after and we have fellowship, which I encourage you to do, that is maintaining our unity. When we help one another, that is maintaining our unity. When we encourage, when we endure, when we bear with, when we bear each other's burdens, that is encouraging and maintaining, preserving the unity that we have. So in closing, I want you to think about how you can be maintaining it. And if Jesus and Paul prayed about it, shouldn't we be doing the same thing? So I encourage you to come and pray for unity amongst the congregation and amongst the church, capital C. Would you join me in prayer? Father God, you and you alone are God. There is only one church. There is only one body. There is only one baptism, one spirit. And you, Father, are the Father of it all. You've made a way for us, Lord, to be brought together. You've made us a part of your church. You've given us unity in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Help us, Lord, to maintain that. Help us to keep it, Lord, as something precious to us as individuals and as a congregation. Help us, Lord, to preserve it in the love that you have given us and the love that we have to share with others. In Jesus' name, amen. We are looking for greeters, especially for next week, because there's going to be a lot of people coming in from out of town and from out of the community, because Brock put it across which he was told to, put it across the community page, so we may have a lot of guests. So if you would like to be a greeter for at least a morning, that would be awesome if you would step up and do that. And you can look through there. There's other things that are needed in the worship folder in the way of announcements. Mindy and I are leaving after service today for Kentucky. We'll be gone till Wednesday evening at a conference, but do not hesitate if you need me to call. I appreciate that. I really do. Is there anything else that I need to remind folks about? In that case, you are a child of God. You are to maintain unity. you have unity through and in Jesus Christ with everyone in this room and everyone that calls themselves a Christian and is outside of this. You go on vacation this year, Mindy and I always try to go to a different church. Not always Church of God. I have brothers and sisters there. Have you ever walked into a church and not been welcomed? It can happen, but it's rare. Don't sit in somebody else's pew, and you won't have any problems. Would you join me in prayer? Father, we're thankful for the unity that you give us in your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. We're thankful, Lord, for your blessings. Oh, Lord, your blessings. Praise your name, Lord. Praise your name. Be with us, Lord, as we go out into the world. Remind us, Lord, that we are not alone, that there are others out there who are called of God as well. And help us to walk in the unity that we have in your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Go in peace. Those who are at 360, remember to stick around after our fellowship time.